Episode 28 of IBC Podcast.
Welcome to the Integrated Bilingual Counseling Podcast, where you will learn topics related to your well-being, emotions, marriage, relationships, parenting, immigration, and more. And now your host, Jose Villafuerte, and co-host, Myra Aguirre.
Hi everyone, I'm Myra, your IBC podcast co-host, and today I am going to introduce our interview with Dr. Clark. In this interview, we are discussing the emotional intelligence and resilience. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of emotional intelligence before, but it's a popular topic nowadays. Emotional intelligence is the ability to express and control one's emotions and also to be able to handle relationship with others. It's said that emotional intelligence is key to personal and professional success. So we are honored today to be able to interview Dr. Clark, who is a clinical psychologist from Kentucky. He has many years of experience in the field. Dr. Clark has been involved in community mental health, hospitals, schools, counseling centers. He is actually right now, he is a professor, and he's also the author of the SOS for Emotions and SOS for Parents, which we have used numerous times in our practice with our clients. So with no further ado, I introduce the interview with Dr. Clark.
So here we are, my friends, once again with Dr. Clark, and let's take this opportunity to thank him for taking the time to do one more topic on enhancing emotional intelligence and resilience. That's actually the topic of today, guys. So how are you, Dr. Clark?
Well, I'm doing just fine, and I'm very interested in this topic and sharing my ideas.
Thank you. And once again, I cannot express enough my gratitude for you to take the time and help us with this episode. We're doing this episode actually in the middle of a storm, and we're all connected virtually. Myra, how are you doing?
I'm good. Trying to survive the storm as well.
I know.
Right.
So, Dr. Clark, why don't you enlighten us with the topic, enhancing emotional intelligence and resilience? What does that mean?
Well, there are five steps to emotional intelligence. And it's very important for people to know these five steps and to work on enhancing these five steps or five abilities. And that will lead to improved emotional resilience. And emotional resilience is bouncing back after a bad fall or a bad event. The five abilities of emotional intelligence are, and these come from Dan Goleman, Emotional Intelligence book. And the abilities are, number one, knowing our emotions. And to know our emotions, we have to know our self-talk. Number two, managing our emotions. Number three is recognizing emotions in others. Four, managing relationships with others. Five, motivating ourselves to achieve our goals. Now, those are the five abilities originally described by Dan Goleman in his book, Emotional Intelligence.
Okay, so can you walk us through these five abilities, please? Starting with
Yes.
The first one, knowing our emotions.
Yeah, to know our emotions, it's very important that we know our beliefs and self-talk. And to know how we are feeling. Now, I've written a book, SOS Help for Emotions, and it describes how to walk yourself through these five abilities. The book is in English and in Spanish. The most important is knowing our emotions. And what is very important here is to know what your beliefs are. And you can drift into irrational beliefs, particularly demanding that the world be like you want it to be, demanding that the world give you what you want. Now, this demandingness, demanding that you get what you want, is partly conscious and it's partly unconscious. and it's not readily available to our awareness. So people have to really to work on that. And some of the beliefs that compose demandingness and demanding that you get your way is condemning and damning yourself or others if you don't get your way. Telling yourself after a disappointment, I can't stand it. And that's called I can't stand it-itis. Or telling yourself a particular situation or person is awful. And if you keep telling yourself this, it's called awfulizing. People who are depressed have trouble with one particular belief, I'm worthless. So when they are frustrated, they tend to drift into this self-talk. I'm worthless. I'm no good. I'll never get ahead. And then they may also believe it's always going to be this way and it's never going to change. That's called always and never. Now, these irrational beliefs really add up to be demandingness, demanding that you get your way. Now, it's very important that if you know your emotions, you need to be aware of these beliefs and of your tending to demanding to get your way. After you know your emotions a little better, the next step is to manage your emotions. Now,
before we go to manage our emotions, can we give an example of demandingness? So, for instance, given that we're in the middle of a storm here and on the East Coast, I could say I can't stand the storm.
That's right.
That's part of my belief system. How do I go by recognizing that there is something wrong with it or there is something irrational with it?
Well, this might be one belief that a person would have. Now, there's even deeper beliefs, but if you are aware that you're very depressed and you tell yourself, I can't get out of the house.
I can't.
I just can't stand it. And this storm is going to go on and on. It's always going to be this way. It is just awful. Now, if you are telling yourself those things, now you need to be aware if you are, then it's important to, there's a way to argue yourself into more rational thoughts by saying, it won't last forever. I've been through this before. I can get through this. Life will still be the same in 2 weeks. So you can counter irrational, self-destructive beliefs and self-talk by arguing against them. But you first have to know what those beliefs and self-talk are. Mm-hmm. And quite often, the deep, hurtful self-talk and beliefs involve relationships, job, school, and romantic relationships particularly. A lot of people will make themselves very angry, depressed, fearful because of these relationships, problems.
Okay, so again, the first thing that we need to do is to identify our belief system. And going back to that example, I cannot stand the storm. That's just part of my belief system, correct?
That's right. That's your irrational belief system, and it's partly conscious and partly unconscious. And as long as you keep believing that, you could remain depressed for a day or two. But again, it's relationships with others, job, those really go to the heart of a person and can end up causing long, long-lasting, damaging anxiety, mm-hmm. fearfulness, anger, depression, and loss of self-worth.
Mm-hmm. I understand. And now that we are aware of our self-talk or our self-conversation, and we go to dispute the self-talk, the self-conversation, we go to manage our emotions. Is that the next step?
Yes. And by disputing and arguing against your irrational beliefs, you can better manage your emotions. And so this is very important. And then when you can manage your emotions, you're better able to recognize emotions in others and to manage relationships with others. Mm-hmm. So these abilities build on top of each other. Now, how do you go about improving these abilities? Many people will do it through psychotherapy, counseling, such as integrated bilingual counseling, reading self-help books, mindfulness exercises, and then I would return back to SOS Help for Emotions, mm-hmm. exercises and materials. You really have to practice managing your emotions, knowing your emotions, being aware of your emotions. So that is very important. And you do that with self-help, cognitive behavior therapy, particularly other forms of counseling and therapy. So this is the way that you can achieve more emotional resilience, being able to bounce back after bad events. I could give you some other examples of common irrational beliefs that many people have. And I can mention a couple of these, and I want your listeners to ask themselves if they tend to believe this. Do they endorse these beliefs?
Okay, let's talk about
it. If they do, they're going to be a problem. The first belief I talk about is the world must be fair. And a person tends to believe this: the world must be fair. People must act fairly and considerately. And if they don't, they're bad, wicked, incredibly stupid. They should be severely blamed and punished. And so then the person goes on to believe, if others are not fair, it's awful. I can't stand it. They should be condemned and damned. Now, what happens when you believe that? Your emotions are going to be this. They're going to be anger, rage, and seeking of revenge. So if you start believing the world's not fair and you're terribly upset about it, you get dumped by somebody you love, and then there is the tendency to start believing that the world's not fair. Now, how you need to be aware if you believe this. And then there are rational alternative beliefs that can counter these irrational beliefs and that will help you feel better. For example, I'd prefer others and the world be fair and reasonable, but life often isn't fair. When possible, I will press others to behave fairly. So you need to accept the fact the world's not fair and not get terribly upset about it when it isn't fair. A lot of people think the world should be fair, and they'll argue, you know, with a therapist that the world's unfair and the world should change, but we can't get the world to change.
Right.
Would you like to go to another belief that causes people enormous problems?
So before we go to another belief, let me ask you this. It sounds like the cause of our emotions, and I don't know if we can call them negative emotions or dysfunctional emotions, but the cause of these emotions happen because of our belief system. Like you
That's said. Right.
Right.
I call them unpleasant emotions, particularly anxiety, anger, depression. And when a person is persistently angry, depressed, fearful, and then they need to ask themselves, it's not just the bad situation I'm in, getting dumped by somebody, but it's what I'm believing and telling myself about the bad situation. So listeners who find that they're persistently depressed and anxious and fearful, they need to ask themselves, so what am I believing about what's going on in my life? Am I demanding that the world be fair? Am I demanding that the world be easy? The world's not easy and it's not fair. And we're just stuck with it as human beings, and we have to adjust to it.
So how do you go by telling somebody that is actually going through an unfair situation? I mean, I don't have anything in my mind, but pretending that it's truly unfair, how can they adjust to that situation?
How can they improve the situation? Is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah, adjustment and improving, no?
Yeah, okay, they have to try to improve your situation, yes. However, you can't really control situations mm-hmm. often. So what you have to do and what you can do is control your beliefs and self-talk about it and thereby control your emotions. So when you're persistently upset, it's going to be a combination of two things, the bad situation and your beliefs and self-talk about it. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have that much control about how the boss treats us or getting dumped by someone. But what we can control is our emotional reaction to it, our unpleasant feelings and emotions, and the way we control or moderate our unpleasant emotions is by looking at our self-talk and beliefs about that bad situation. And that is a good part of the solution for making yourself feel better.
So do you happen to establish a goal? It sounds like there are a series of steps that you got to take. One is pay attention to your self-talk, your self-conversation, what emotions you are feeling at the moment. So is there a goal that you have to put in place? Like, I'm dealing with this situation that is frustrating. I feel angry about. What's the goal here? Do I want to feel less angry, or do I just want to feel an emotion that is, I don't know, perhaps a frustration that is not as intense as anger, for instance?
Okay, what is your goal when you're upset, and it is to feel less upset, to be a little more accepting, to not let your upsetness be self-destructive, where you lash out at others, your boss, your girlfriend, your spouse, or where you lash out at yourself, and then you feel worthless and miserable. So it's to reduce the hurtfulness, the self-destructiveness, the intensity of these unpleasant emotions, anxiety, anger, and depression.
Okay.
And I'd like to mention to do that, again, the SOS Help for Emotions book in English and Spanish give the steps and the resources to do this. And other sources of cognitive behavior therapy, therapists and self-help materials, and particularly going to therapists and counselors. When you find that your emotional upsetness is persistent, damaging to you and others, you need to seek help. You need to regain and gain emotional resilience. We all are going to have falls. And the important thing is that you're able to recover yourself, your composure, and not start behaving in a self-destructive manner.
I totally agree with you. And let me ask you this. So emotional resilience comes from disputing your beliefs and installing rational beliefs. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes. First, recognize what your self-destructive beliefs are that are causing your upsetness.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize the situation. And that's very challenging to do. And it takes practice, practice, practice. And again, you have to get professional help or self-help materials that address this specific problem of destructive self-talk. So you have to be very much aware of your emotion. Don't deny your emotion. And the hardest part is being aware of your beliefs and self-talk that drive that emotion.
Okay, So again, there are a series of steps that we got to take. And going back to what you said about the books are really extremely helpful. As a matter of fact, you describe on the book the ABCD, the A for the activating event, the B for belief system, C consequences, and D disputing the belief system. So yes, there's a system in place that has to be followed in order to accomplish the goal of emotional resilience.
That is exactly right. You talked about the ABC, and we talk about the in the book, and in Mocione's book also, we talk about the A is the bad event, the bad activating event, plus your beliefs, your irrational beliefs, cause C, the consequences of your emotions, anxiety, anger, depression. Now, there are exercises and exercises, and it takes practice, practice, practice. It's just not a simple understanding that bad events plus your beliefs cause your emotions. There are many, many ingredients to the exercises and the ways to practice yourself into a new way of thinking and a new way of feeling.
And how long would you say that it takes for a person to recover? I mean, I totally understand that it's going to be case by case. Each case is totally different, but how long would you say that it takes for somebody to recover from a divorce?
It's my belief. Let's first say they're persistently upset with this divorce. Most
right.
people, there's something wrong with you if you're not upset.
Of course.
To accelerate recovery, I am in favor of counseling and to get good references of counselors, invest some money in counseling and time and energy, and you're going to be upset for a shorter, you're going to be less likely to be self-destructive in your emotions, and you will have more resilience, will bounce back quicker. Also, allow yourself time to recover, too.
Mm-hmm.
You can't immediately bounce back, but you have to work on self-care, realizing your beliefs and self-talk, and there's a number of other things you can do, too, exercise and so forth, that are going to be important in helping yourself to
right.
recover really
right.
bad events.
Yes, like you said, self-care and there's a bunch of things that people can also do, you know, like seeking counseling services, reading books, practicing all the materials that you just mentioned. So yes, there's quite a few steps that one can do in the process of recovery. So Dr. Clark, we're getting to the end of our interview. Any final recommendations to our audience?
Well, I have spent a career working as a therapist. And I wrote the book, SOS Help for Emotions. It's on Amazon and at sosprograms.com in English and Spanish. And in this book is a review of what we have been talking about. So it's hard for me not to recommend that particular book. There's other sources of help also.
Yes, and I highly recommend those books. I actually use those books with every one of my clients at Integrated Bilingual Counseling. Maida, is there anything that you want to ask or add?
No, I just wanted to thank Dr. Clark for giving us all this knowledge about our emotions.
Yes, well, I appreciate being on this interview and blog. This series of blogs are very helpful to people. And this series of blogs actually will help in people better understanding their beliefs and self-talk, their emotions, and the self-help steps that they can take. And I think the blogs give people hope, and that's very important.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Dr. Clark. And once again, thank you very much for taking the time to do this for us, and hopefully this will not be the last one.
Yes, I look forward to with talking to the two of you again. And
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Clark.
Thanks for listening to IBC Podcast at www.ibcpodcast.com. Regarding the subject covered in this episode, it was provided with the understanding that neither the host, co-host, or guest are rendering legal and clinical or other professional information pertinent to your specific case. If you feel you're in the need of support or services, don't hesitate to look for help.